Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere. Like when your fantasy league meets up at your house. Everything's great until the hot plate gets too hot for the tablecloth. Now your kitchen's up in smoke. And if you don't have the right home insurance coverage, the cost to fix this is anything but a fantasy. So switch to Allstate, save money, and get protected from mayhem like this. Not available in every state. Based on coverage selected, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Savings vary.
Welcome to Fit and Proper. I'm Rhys James.
And I'm Lloyd Griffith.
Each week we delve into the murky world of football club ownership. We're giving control to our famous guests to run their beloved club in their own way.
They can do whatever they like, from changing the manager to moving the stadium close to their house, sacking the mascot to insisting all their players have blue dreadlocks.
But their decisions will be scrutinised heavily, just like a real owner. Firstly, by Lloyd and I, and then our supercomputer, which will analyse the data and decide if they are a fit and proper person to run a football club.
Hello, Rhys James.
Hello, Lloyd. What's going on?
Good, thank you. What have I been doing? Gigging, telling jokes, doing my little
plying your trade. Plying your trade at last. And you're trying to get better, and that's what I admire about you.
I think you always get better. You always get better. That is, and once you get worse, that's the problem.
You start getting considerably worse every gig.
I'm currently touring with Jack Whitehall on his arena tour up and down as a country.
Could you pull some strings for him to come on the podcast?
Yes, that's happening. Don't you worry about that. It's just, he's a very busy man. Have you heard of the phrase Hollywood?
I've heard of the word
and
Hollywood,
have you heard of the phrase actor?
He's a Hollywood actor, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, he's a Hollywood actor, yeah.
He knows some.
And he knows some, yeah.
And
but
he knows
quite hard
some.
To pin him down, but he has said he'll do it. It's just trying to find a time. But I think in the next few weeks, Rhys, that'll happen. But it might involve you having to come somewhere to record it.
Oh, for another Arsenal episode. Come on, mate.
Have you heard of the phrase Cardiff?
Oh, I'm not coming. As if I'm coming to Cardiff. Come on. As if I'm coming to Cardiff. Okay. I've not left my shed for the last few episodes.
Have you not? We've got an email in, okay, which went through to the Goal Hanger crew. It is from a man called Nathan Price, who is captain of El Bano FC. Now, we've been speaking about Fit and Proper potentially sponsoring a football club. We've said the UK, but I guess it could be anywhere, really.
Sure.
I'm not really decided on that. He says, couldn't help but take your sponsorship offer up on the latest episode, semi-seriously, and get in touch with the glamorously opportunity to sponsor my six-side team, El Bano FC. Founded in 2016, the Spanish-inspired Bano have hit illustrious heights, such as their Division 2 Soccer League St. Ives Cambridgeshire title and their recent highest placement, hitting third in Division 1. We're a bunch of old friends who now use Monday night football slot to stay in touch and take the world by storm. The team play their distinct style in their currently sponsorless iconic green and black stripes, reminiscent of a pre-sellout Barcelona. Though our time has come to sell out, with our ironed-on badges increasingly fading, we are in the need of a new kit and can think of no better partnership than El Bano and Fit and Proper. Let's make football history and break the internet together. Now, yeah, I think Russian hackers are breaking the internet, but I mean.
So, Lloyd, just to give you some context here on El Bano, I've googled El Bano FC and I found something called League Starting Now in Your Area is the big advert, Soccer League UK website. I've got their results. Now, okay. So these go back from this February 2020. Now, listen, some of these results are from April 2020. Were we allowed to be playing football publicly in April 2020? That's a question you want to ask yourselves.
Right.
But they're playing against teams called, for example, they're winning a lot of these games 5-0, by the way.
Oh.
They're playing, for example, short-sighted Banana Dwarfs, One Hit Wounders, the Varginas FC,
wow.
Who Ate All Depies, Top Boys FC, and FC Heinzeken.
And they're playing in the In-Betweeners League, apparently.
Exactly. Is this a... And one of the results is from the 24th of February, 2030.
What?
So I'm just wondering if this is really the sort of team we want to be plastering our name across at this stage.
A team in the future.
They're in the mix. They're in the mix. And they did win that game in the future, 5-0. But it does imply one match fixing to me, and also, okay. So here's some names from Division One: two goals, one cup. Auntie Jackie's sisters, brothers, boys. Boom FC. Champagne Super Rovers, Net Six and Chill. I mean, I'm not saying that one. The Removals Men FC and Rouse's Raiders. But I just think, look, this show is called Fit and Proper, okay? So it does imply a certain level of due diligence that's been done
100%,
here.
Yeah.
We can't, if we put Fit and Proper across your shirt, it's like we are saying that you are a Fit and Proper team. Now, if you're playing in a league against teams called the Varginas, I'm not convinced that's a good look for us or you. So I wish you the best, Albano FC, but I'm happy live to rule that one out.
Well, you joke about it, but the Varginas are sponsored by Off Menu.
Yeah, fair enough.
So, you know, I guess the joke's on us, really, for not grabbing that opportunity. Hey, speaking of opportunities, we've got opportunity for a guest to be on this podcast today.
Yeah, and that guest is one of my heroes, Scroobius Pip.
Wow. When you text me and was like, so we've got Scroobius Pip. I was like, how have you managed this? And it turns
out, crazy.
You just text him.
Well, I got lucky because on an episode of another podcast of mine, Early Work, now temporarily defunct podcast, chatting to excellent comedian Lolly Adefope, we were discussing a poem I wrote that sounded like a bit of a knockoff. I was clearly trying to do a Scroobius Pip thing. We got into just talking about how much we love Scroobius Pip, how influential he was on us at a young age. He then was tipped off to this podcast episode months later, listened to it, and as a result, sort of sent me some tweets being very grateful about it. And then
saying, don't fucking do my poems again, you prick.
Yeah, exactly. And we had a bit of a chat.
Have you had a Tim Key? How about you do that, dickhead?
And then he, as a result, you know, he followed me. I had access to the DMs. So I sent him a quick DM. Do you want to come on this podcast? Yes. First Millwall fan to do the podcast.
I anticipate this
being a big episode. It could even be a controversial episode. This one could break the internet. Well, also, as we mentioned, he's podcasting royalty. He's got one of the OG podcasts. I mean, just look, I'm a huge fan of the guy. I was so thrilled when he said that he'd come and do our little podcast. Our increasingly large podcast, actually, to be fair to us. It's growing, would you say, Lloyd?
It's growing.
It's starting to grow.
Well, I got a thesaurus for Christmas. And let me tell you, this podcast is growing a lot.
Yeah, here we go.
Exponentially.
It's just my joke.
It is your joke.
You're going to slag me off and ripping off Scroobius Pip, and then you're just going to nick my jokes.
Yeah, so this podcast is growing. We've been quite high in the charts, which we've been quite surprised about. So thank you so much for listening to this. And
it had to happen eventually. As a late bloomer myself, it had to happen eventually.
You've still not got pubes, have you?
The growth spurt. The growth spurt had to come eventually. Speaking of someone who is very hairy, please welcome Scroobius Pip.
Wow.
Joining us this week on Fit and Proper. Oh, I've been looking forward to this one. Ever since we managed to lock him down, he's, well, not only podcasting royalty, one of the original podcasters. He's also one of my favorite musicians. He is now a Hollywood actor. I mean, this guy, he's a triple threat minimum. Please welcome to the show, Scroobius Pip. What a treat.
Thank you. What an introduction. And I did invent podcasts. My real name is Alexander Graham Podcast.
What coincidence that is, by the way.
So, yeah, it's good to be here.
And do you get royalties from every single podcast that goes out?
Yeah, but it's done on the way that Spotify do musicians' royalties. So I get a takeaway each weekend off of the billions of podcasts that get downloaded.
Oh, my God.
How does it feel, though, to be part of, like, you know, this podcast is like, you know, we're in the 30s of episodes. So we're in our infancy, really. And willing to admit, we're a bit late to the game. Now, I had another podcast for a while that I started just before the pandemic. And even that one, I feel like I was in almost ground floor. You're years before that.
Yeah. I've done over 500 episodes with at least one episode every week for, I think we're on 9 years now.
Jesus.
But yeah, it's nice to not be proven wrong because I left a radio show I had on XFM to do a podcast when podcasts weren't really a thing. But I was like, now this seems fun. This seems like it will work out. And there was obviously a lot of, oh, this isn't going to last. This is a bad idea. I've had that with every career choice I've made, basically. My mum was so worried when I stopped making music because, you know, I had a successful career and I stopped on our biggest album, our biggest tour, because I was like, I'm going to be an actor. And my mum was like, mate, you quit your job in retail to try music and you fluked your way into it working. Why are you now quitting a successful music career to declare yourself an actor? And then the same with radio. You got a show on XFM. They're fantastic. Why are you quitting to do something called podcasting? But they all seem to have worked out. So
that's what mums do, though, isn't it? That's what mums are like.
Yeah.
Well, I think we've probably got three supportive mums on this podcast. So
yeah,
what a lovely episode. You're the original Jake Humphrey as well. I mean, this is great. Yeah. I mean, he claimed to have invented podcasting 2 years ago, but it's you,
mate. Right. I invented podcasts. I invented hipsters. I invented spoken word poetry. I'm in the process of inventing acting again. So yeah, I'm quite the creator.
And soon you're going to have invented football club ownership.
Yes.
We discussed this just before we started recording. You're a big football fan. And also, as Lloyd pointed out, the first of our guests to be wearing the shirt of the team.
Yes.
It's huge.
And a proper 88-89 season.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow. Who's the Spall. Maker?
Spall. So it's proper. It's when you didn't have sponsors on the shirts, like when you bought them.
Good. Yeah, blank across the middle. And it's properly, it's like really royal blue. It's shiny.
And you know what? It was really nice to put it on this morning because last time I wore it, I was on Soccer AM and it was a little bit too tight. So now I've put on muscle, but it turns out I've lost some weight. So it's a nice fit now. This feels like I've built it intentionally.
We should mention it's a Millwall top as well. Like we haven't actually mentioned.
It's worth noting.
Worth noting. So a Millwall top from 88-89.
Before people like me too much, let's mention it's a Millwall top.
Yeah, we're too much praise. We've heaped Thanks. Praise on you.
Thank you for having me on the podcast. it looks quite shiny in that, like, does it nick on hairs? Like, that's what I find. Oh, okay.
No, fine. It's nice. It's surprisingly smooth.
Yeah,
And I'm quite as you've noted there. I'm quite a hairy person, and it's a comfortable wear.
I've got two incredible Grimsby Town tops from I think 92-93, and they're brilliant. And the way they fit, I have to do the button up top at the otherwise it just looks ridiculous. So I have to do the top button up, but then it nicks on my hairs, and it's so painful. And then I start hating the kit, so I've actually have to stop wearing the kit. Or I have to clean shave. And I'm not clean shaving because I've got 94 chins.
Clean shaving just to wear one shirt.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, isn't it? Ridiculous.
Do you guys, are you friends with David Earle? You must know David Earle.
Mate,
do we know
David Earle?
The comedy scene. Well, he's a pal as well, and I'm a big fan of his Twitch streams. And as soon as you mentioned Grimsby, he had a season where he was managing Grimsby, and he wrote a song for it, which went Grimsby Town FC. Oh, you mean the world to me, your big, ugly, ugly boys. You know you are. And as soon as you mentioned Grimsby, I struggled to listen because I started going through that in my head. He's done songs for each football team he's managed on FIFA, and it's a joy.
It's so funny as well because I went on his podcast. He's like, okay, look, I've written this song. I'm a bit reluctant to let you listen to it. I was like, go on. And then it's just basically like, big, big, sexy boys.
Yeah. Big, ugly, ugly. Because that season he decided his signing plan was going to be he wanted ugly boys.
Ugly boys.
Just big, ugly lads. Because previous seasons he'd done all his signings based on haircuts. And this season he said, I want a bastard squad, basically. So he just signed a lot of ugly, older players. And it was, it's a joy.
Loads of Grimsby Town fans like climbed on that. They were like, this is great. David Earle's written us a song. And then he released it. They're like, okay, not what we thought.
Not the official club soundtrack.
I love
it. Not playing that in the shop.
He's absolutely brilliant. And look, Millwall Grimsby, they must have played a few times, like early 90s, surely.
Yeah.
I can't think of anything.
A lot of those. It's weird, isn't it? Because I've been going since I was literally six or seven. I've been going Millwall. And it's weird. You remember the big rivalries and there's loads of teams that you just aren't rivals. So we've probably played tons of times, but because there's not this big banter and back and forth, it's,
Who are the main ones?
Clear memories.
Who are the big derbies you would look forward to?
Well, we'd always have fun with Palace and Charlton, because they're like, Charlton particularly is walking distance from us, but Palace is obviously another local team of ours. But it always felt friendly because they're so local that, like, you must work with all the people you work with are supporters of these clubs. And we'd always sing the I was thinking the other day, weirdly sports related, Sweet Caroline. I was trying to think of another song that has such a well-known bit that isn't in the song. What part is it? Hang on, Sweet Caroline. So good. Mm. And we would always sing, like, you know, I think Roy Chubby Brown did a cover of Living Next Door to Alice. And yeah. He'd do the Alice, Who the Fuck is Alice?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
We would play that over the PA every time we played Palace. And we would all sing, Palace, who the fuck are Palace? Because we are living next door to Palace. So we'd all sing along. And it was such a perfect one. And yeah, I can't think of many other songs that have such a well-known bit that isn't in the actual song.
There's an Australian band called The Angels who have a song that goes, am I ever gonna see your face again? And every time they play it at a gig, all the crowd immediately go, no way, get fucked, fuck off.
I love it.
It's just a thing that just became, it's not in the song, it just became a thing at gigs. So like the best ones to listen to on Spotify are their live album, so that you just get to hear that.
Because you get all of that. I love that stuff. But then yeah, the other rivalry is obviously West Ham, and that's a funny one because I remember going to see Millwall West Ham loads of times as a kid and there being no trouble. And then we were in different leagues for years. And in that gap, Football Factory came out, Green Street came out, all of these films. And the next time we played each other, riots in the streets, riots in the stands. And I think it is, there's a load of that that's young kids who don't, like the reason Millwall West Ham previously had a rivalry was because of the breaking of the picket line. And it was supposed that the dock workers, the Millwall dock workers, were on strike. And it was supposed that West Ham dock workers across the picket line, all this kind of thing. There's loads of kind of mad history on this kind of thing. But all these young supporters just came back to Millwall going, and again, there's probably is an element of older boys as well. Like the old boys, I mean, not old boys as in the big kids at school, but the old boys who haven't had a chance to kick off against each other in a couple of decades. But yeah, it made me laugh that I've clear memories of taking West Ham mates to Millwall West Ham and they're not being troubled. Because I live in Essex, so east of London, so most of the kids I went to school with were either West Ham or Southend fans. So yeah, it's weird so it how that created, became a violent its own thing legacy. Again. Yeah, yeah,
so,
yeah.
It was
off the back
of
Danny Dyer, essentially.
Yeah. Wow. So you think you're doing something to sort of highlight what's going on there, and really, you're actually creating it.
You're building it up. Yeah.
Well, we should get into that. Sorry, we should get into the sort of reputation of Millwall a little bit.
It's big on my themes for today.
Right? Is it okay?
Yeah. It's because a key part.
The last, I think it was 2017. Spurs played Millwall in the FA Cup, I believe.
Yeah.
I was on the bus from Seven Sisters, just a normal bus, not a Spurs branded bus, just a normal London double decker red bus that had lots of members of the public on it, just going home with their shopping. And some Millwall fans walked past and chucked glass bottles at the bus. And there was not even any indication that had anything, any Spurs fans
on
it.
And that's mad because we love Spurs. Like Sheringham went to Spurs. So a lot of, and he was our like golden boy, our top goal scorer forever. And a lot of Millwall fans kind of had Spurs as a second club. We had Harry Kane on loan when he was teenager, all sorts of things like that. So it feels like Spurs aren't someone that we hate, yet there is that vocal minority. it's a rough one, man. And it's an interesting one because my feelings have changed on it in recent years. I know we're here to have fun and have a laugh, but it's undeniable that Millwall have had a bad rap of things over the years. Like the funniest one for me is there was a big Sun expose, 2-page spread of a reporter who came to a Millwall game and he saw the Millwall fans doing Nazi salutes and chanting Sieg Heil, which is disgusting and should be exposed. The week later, there was a one paragraph redaction because they realised that we were playing Brighton and what he saw was Brighton fans chanting seagulls and just doing the typical thing. So they were just pointing and going, seagulls, seagulls. So that, again, that's like man, but no one reads the redaction. Ridiculous. Everyone just goes, a huge expose on Millwall racism. However, I've been a defender of Millwall for a long time, and I've been on Soccer AM over the years talking about it. I've done stuff for the BBC, because again, I do think we get a bad rap. I think I've been there at the end of the season where we've got promoted and everyone's invaded the pitch in joy. That happens every time a team gets promoted. Yeah. You then see it reported in the papers of ugly scenes at the Den, pitch invasion, this. It's like, nah. But we have continued to have racism and homophobia. And I think as a 30-year-plus supporter, you can only say vocal minority for so long, right? Because if they're that much of a minority, then get rid of them. Yeah. Either the club don't care enough to get rid of them, or it's not the minority that we think is. So yeah, this is a tough one because I've had backlash in recent years that's kind of, we won't go into it in big detail, but it's massively softened my support of the club because I've spoken out against people booing the players, taking the knee. And yeah, had huge backlash over things like that. And the thing that disappointed me the most, I'm getting so heavy now, was the club decided to stop taking the knee, which to me is the club going, okay, let's try not to upset our racists.
Yeah.
which, you know, fuck that. Fuck the racists, fuck the homophobes. I'm not sure if we're allowed to swear, but yeah, it's a weird one. It's a weird club to support.
How do you feel about how the club are doing? To me, they're a real sort of Championship mainstay.
Yeah. We've had a hell of a season. It's been out like we almost made the playoffs.
Yeah.
I think what always excites me, every time we have a good season, like that era where we had Tim Cahill, Stephen Reid, Neil Harris, all of these, the seasons that we have a good season or two is when we've got really good ball players, because people come to Millwall expecting a hard match, you know, to be hard tackles, aggressive crowd. And we've had numerous eras where we're really good with the ball at our feet and it catches people off guard. But I think that always is the case. That works for a couple of seasons and then people start to expect it.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? So when we're a good ball playing team, like we've never had the money to be getting all these top players. But when we get a load of youth players who've got a bit about them, it catches. It's the surprise as much as anything. And again, the intimidating atmosphere. Like we've talked about the bad reputation of Millwall. That's helped us at times because it's an intimidating club to come to for away fans and for away teams. So there's a balance of that, right?
Breaking news here, and that's to inform you that Scroobius Pip has beaten the Saudi Public Investment Fund to the buyout of Millwall FC. That's, again, breaking news here at Fit and Proper. Scroobius Pip is the new owner of Millwall FC. More to follow.
Wow.
Huge congratulations.
Yeah. I mean, kept that quiet.
Yeah. I didn't want to bring it out. I mean, there's a reason I'm in the shirt. I've got to,
got to
promote things.
Yeah.
If you don't mind us asking, how much did it cost you to buy, purchase Millwall?
Got it exclusively through blackmail. So
I can't
go into massive details, but yeah, I stumbled upon some dirt and now I've got myself a football club, ladies and gentlemen. Happy days.
I've stumbled upon
the cheapest
dirt.
Option. That's the cheapest business model, isn't it? Just go for blackmail.
Yeah.
It's actually, yeah, simple, that's what actually, blackmail. It's sort of how every acquisition should go. Instead of spending money buying a club, you should spend less money hiring a private investigator to dig up dirt on the current owners to force them into selling it to you for cheaper. Why aren't people doing this more?
I'm convinced it's how Theo got outed at Millwall, because Theo of Dragons Den was a Millwall director in the day.
Yeah.
He was the one who owned us when we had, again, my favourite era, the Cahill, or joint favourite, the Cahill Harris, all that kind of people era was Theo.
Know that.
Who also, didn't he own La Senza?
Yeah, he did own La Senza, yeah.
So Millwall and lingerie.
And also Ryman's.
Yeah, Ryman's was his big one, yeah.
Look, I mean, bras, tape and Millwall. It's already like an East London kind of like, how you doing, you all right?
That must be how he ended up on Dragon's Den, because they clearly thought, oh, he'll buy anything. This guy. There's no rhyme or reason for his portfolio.
Robert Dias as well, which does sound like a Millwall signing, to be fair.
Yeah, it does.
Did he own Robert Dias?
Yeah, I think he's part owner of Robert Dias.
Robert.
Yeah, he's the owner of Robert Dias. Unbelievable.
I bought a laundry bag from there a few years back. That is a podcast exclusive, by the way.
Oh, wow.
Well, congrats, Matt.
Huge news. Congratulations, Theo.
So you've managed to blackmail the current owners, and you've got yourself a club on the cheap, or probably even free.
Yeah.
It means you've got a bit of budget left over, theoretically, because you haven't spent anything. Yeah. What's your first port of call when you've taken over the club?
Well, obviously, you know, one of the important things instantly, you know, I'm a big long-time Championship Manager fan, right? So Championship Manager is a bit of that kind of you've got your toy box and you want to play with them. So the first thing I've been looking at Millwall is all your typical things. Manager, you know, what signings do I want to bring in? There's a lot to be excited about, basically. My main objective with the club, yes, I got it through blackmail, which isn't the best thing, but my main objective is to repair our reputation. And I think sometimes, like, you know, with ships and that, you kind of, if it's going in one direction, you have to oversteer in the other direction a bit to bring it back on course. That's kind of my plan with the club. So yeah, I've got a lot of change in the pipelines.
So let's talk about that change and the reputation. How are you changing that reputation?
Basically, I'm going to make us the most multicultural, multi-sexuality club in the world. We're going to be so gay, so varied, so just glorious. Like, we are the Lions, right? Lions Pride.
Yes.
It's going to be a Lions Pride every weekend. Love it's going to be like a fucking Pride Parade every home game. We are going to have pre-game entertainment, half-time entertainment. Anyone who's remotely uncomfortable with a variety of sexualities, races and cultures is not going to want to come to Millwall anymore. And it's going to be all the better for it. It's going to be a party.
Amazing that sort of Millwall's current reputation, as you say, is a little bit, and sometimes it's incorrect, is a little bit like, oh, we don't want to go there.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's going to be a bit rough. It's a bit aggressive. And now it's going to be like, oh, we don't want to go there. It's going to be a bit too fabulous.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be far too fabulous. I want a club. Again, there's that thing in football that there's always been this huge taboo at over any gay players, a subject tackled amazingly on the recent season of Ted Lasso, might I add.
You're welcome.
I want a club where the players feel uncomfortable to let anyone know they're straight. We will allow some straight players, but I want that to be the taboo. I want that to be the awkward thing. A mate of mine, I remember talking to him, amazing sports writer, Moose Rockwonga, and podcaster, just a general legend. I remember him talking to me about after he'd come out as gay, he later down the line, and this is his story to tell, but later down the line, he realised he was bi and he felt more uncomfortable coming out to his gay mates that he'd met a girl. And, you know, that felt more uncomfortable than coming out as gay in the first place. So that's how I want Millwall to be. I want it to feel a little bit awkward.
Now, you don't want it to be, you know, worried about getting a snooker ball in a sock.
No.
It's like, you're going to go to Millwall this weekend. Oh, I'm a bit worried I might get glitter in my stockings.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Like, and glitter is hard to get out as well, honestly. God, it's a nightmare.
Much more lasting damage than a black eye.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. Yeah. How does this affect the branding then of Millwall? So obviously right now you're wearing a blue kit.
But he's quite...
Is the rainbow
earlier,
getting involved?
It is he's quite shiny at the moment.
It is shiny.
Shininess is fabulous.
Exactly. I think that's still the way to go. I think the shininess... But you know... like when you have those things that in a certain light, there's a certain something. Or more, you know those pillows you'll get that are like sequins, and one way, you push all the sequins down, you push all the sequins down and it's blue, you push all the sequins up and it's a beautiful rainbow, a rainbow lion, a lion with a rainbow mane. is the picture that you can push them all down and it's a straight sequiny, a straight blue. But you push those sequins up. And there's a, you know, there's always a lot of tussling at Millwall. So even if you start with all the sequins down, they're going to end up up at some point.
Yeah.
And also, I guess, as you know, like, it's quite an easy way of the referee just being able to decide if someone has pulled your shirt or not.
Yeah.
I mean, referee is pulling on my shirt. And he's like, well, actually, your handprint is in the sequins.
Yeah. It's quite clear. There's a clear rainbow handprint. So it's hard to deny.
Are you going to, therefore, are you going to be avoiding having a sponsor across the middle that's going to ruin that? So you're just going to keep it clean?
No, I've negotiated a hell of a sponsor. And you know what Welcome to Wrexham has done for the reputation of Wrexham, like globally, The reputation of Millwall is mainly only in the UK. Like, I've gigged abroad and done acting jobs abroad. You mentioned Millwall, no one knows. So we think our sponsor is going to give Millwall a fresh reputation around the whole world. And we've done a deal with RuPaul's Drag Race as our shirt sponsor. There's going to be a football special episode. And I think around the world, Millwall are going to be known as the club for just for fabulousness. So, yeah.
Yeah, the inclusive club.
Yeah. And again, the history of Lions and Pride, it's beautiful there. It's easy to rewrite. It's easy for people to not realise what a checkered history we have and just focus purely on,
It's all been there staring. It's been staring the fans in the face this whole time. They've not even realised.
It's beautiful, which is often the problem, which is often where homophobia and all of these come from, because they can't face their own emotions.
Oh, I am.
Now, let me ask you this. Any chance that you're renaming the Den to, say, The Closet?
No, I think we'll keep the Den because it's a tradition, and we've only just got the Den back because for years it was called The New Den, which was heartbreaking because it was only The New Den for a season, and then it was The New Den for like 10 more seasons, and it was no longer new. So I don't want to mess with the name anymore.
And actually, in your, you know, on the brand, if I were to stumble upon, say, a gay nightclub that was called The Den, I wouldn't find that jarring.
No,
that would chime with me
perfectly.
Yeah,
we're just gonna zhuzh it up a bit. You know, the name The Den will be in the letters of The Den. They're currently white on blue. We're just gonna make it white leather on blue. Just to add a little bit of sheen, just to add a little bit of sheen on the ground to go, all right, welcome into the Den.
And that is almost like very kind of like what a footballer would have in their house as well.
Yeah.
As well,
yeah. 100%. Again, it's not excluding anyone, you know, other than the nasty people.
Yes. Yeah. And are you going to make any sort of aesthetic or functional changes to the stadium inside? Other than obviously the leather of the letters outside.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure the current number, but let's just say there's going to be an increase in disco balls. I'm sure we've probably already got some, but particularly in the toilets. I love the idea of the toilets feeling like a bit of an event. Because at the moment at football, you're holding off going to the toilet because you don't want to miss any of the game. So if you're going, it's a rush. Sometimes you'll do the kind of like, you know, when you might leave a game early to avoid the traffic on the way out, if it's going a bad way or a good way. But I'll do that with the toilet sometimes at Millwall. I'll go like 5 minutes before halftime to avoid the rush. I want people to be excited to be in there with other people because the atmosphere is going to be all the better if there's more people. No one wants to be in a nightclub on their own. So I want the toilets to feel like a nightclub. So you don't mind if there's 1,000 other blokes in there all weeing at once, because it's adding to the atmosphere.
It's like a powder room, but not the powder that you want in there that might have the current reputation. This is
100%.
Hey, we want you honestly coming out smelling nice.
Honestly,
cowlick.
It's a great shout, Lloyd. Honestly, powder currently at football makes me genuinely miss the days of drunk fans. I would much rather drunk fans than coked up fans, 100%. So, yeah, you know, margaritas in the powder room. Get down there for half time.
Are you going to have one of those Are you going to have one of those no spray, no lay guys in the toilets at Millwall?
Yeah, definitely. 100%.
Offering you some aftershaves. Aftershave and a Chubba Chups lolly for a quid.
Oh, yeah. That's all day long. Yeah, that's got to be done. I love those guys. Again, building the atmosphere. Getting sing-alongs going in the toilets.
Oh,
imagine the chants that might come out of that atmosphere.
Yeah.
You know, having some classic songs, because it's always really weird what songs become chants. So having a good there's a DJ in the toilet. I didn't mention that, but having a good DJ in the toilet.
Yeah, brilliant.
You could the chants that could come up. Yeah. Oh, it's exciting.
And are you going to get him to change some of the sort of no spray, no lay guy? You know, a lot of those phrases are very heteronormative that this guy would say. You know, he'd say no Armani, no Punani, for example.
Yeah.
Some more inclusive ones, a wider variety.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you're putting me on the spot to come up with any here. Yeah, but yeah, I do want the variation.
No spritz,
me
no
and
dicks.
Lloyd both. No spritz, no dicks is absolutely welcome. Me and Lloyd both froze and stared into the distance as you started that sentence because we were both like, I know where he's going with this. We need to come up with something.
I'll tell you what was going through that. I looked at my neighbour's roof whilst thinking about modern perfumes and whether I can get the phrase penis into it.
Yeah.
And
I think you want to look at sort of words like cock and dick. They're sort of much easier to rhyme. But yeah, still, I'm struggling beyond spritz and dick, which isn't even it's sort of a half rhyme. I'm struggling to think of another one.
No Paco Rabanne, no kiss from a man.
Yep. Oh, there we go. Come on. That's
like
not
it.
Bad stuff.
That's beautiful.
Okay, nice. So there's going to be a lot of disco balls. Are you considering having a disco ball? You know, when you watch, there's a different camera angle at, say, the FA Cup final or something.
I know
where
you are.
And you see the spider cam. You see the spider cam. No, I don't even mean on the street line in the streets. I mean above the
pitch. On the strings.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. That string camera they have like behind a penalty or something like that or a free kick. That when you see the wider angle, you always think, God, it looks like it's close to their heads. It looks a bit, and like the ball's going to hit it.
Yeah.
You could have a disco ball suspended on those strings above the pitch at all times at the Den.
Look, I don't want you to disrespect how serious we're still taking our football.
sorry. Sure. I apologise.
Sure.
This is halftime and pre-game entertainment. Yes, there's going to be a lot of dry ice on the walkouts. But as soon as those walkouts are done, we are all business.
I was about to say, the walkouts of the tunnels should be like stars in their eyes.
Yeah.
Tonight, Matthew, I'm going to be Millwall FC and then just come out.
Surely,
literally come out.
Surely it's catwalk style if you're sponsored by RuPaul's Drag Race.
Course,
surely it's all about.
Each player gets an individual introduction and gets their time on the catwalk.
And they get their drag name.
Yeah.
And if they get subbed off or sent off, they have to sashay away. Is that correct?
Oh, 100%.
Fully do like click your fingers.
I mean, just to get a historical thing in here again, old Millwall, before I took over, one of my favourite Millwall memories was. I said the Cahill era was like the joint favourite era. The 88-89, which is the shirt I'm wearing, was Sheringham and Cascarino up front. Keith Stevens and Mick McCarthy in defence.
Oh, my God.
Terry Hurlock in midfield. Andy Roberts. All of these players. It was amazing. Alex Ray.
Was Fashnu there at that point?
He was there just before that. So... just after. So Hurlock went away and he was our real hard man player. Curly perm, crooked nose. He went and played for Rangers and they were like in Europe and that at the time. So it was a big success story. After he'd played there, he came back to Millwall and in his first game, he got a red card in the first 6 minutes and got a standing ovation, clapped off the pitch. And it sums up the Millwall of my youth. That it was like, Hurlock's back, straight sent off, all of the crowd, welcome home. Welcome home, Terry.
I was weirdly doing some research on Terry Hurlock this morning. Don't ask why, but knowing that you were coming on, there was a bit here. Let me see if I can find it here. Because he used to get booked a lot. Here we go. A hard player, Hurlock's long curly hair, earring, and beard led the Brentford supporters to nickname him, and then gave him a slur name. Callaghan managed to convince Hurlock to smarten his appearance, as Callaghan believed Hurlock's rough appearance and was influencing referees to book him. So apparently, because he looked hard, The referees would just book him anyway. It's like
it's not all the absolute violence from him. It's because he looks hard.
Yeah.
He was being stereotyped. That's his defense.
I didn't touch him yet. It was the way you looked at him, though. All right, okay. Yeah. Here's a yellow.
Like, I've got pictures of me as a kid with Herlock, with Cascarino, with Sheringham, all that lot. That was a hell of an era.
We've talked about, obviously, the toilets. We've talked about the dry ice as they're coming out. We've talked about mirror balls. What we haven't discussed, and you know, you said you want this to be a very welcoming place. Catering. Mm-hmm. Do you know what mm-hmm. I mean? Have you thought about catering, what you're going to do at the Den?
I mean, I'd like a guest caterer each week. I'd like to variate things. I think football grounds can get very habitual, and I'm guilty of that. Like, me and my dad have our halftime sweets that we've bought in, and if we start them before halftime, it's bad luck. So yeah, we're having to hold off. I think breaking that is a good idea. So I think, yeah, a guest caterer each week, going proper kind of, you know, like how a lot of South London has become a bit gentrified with like the box parks and stuff like that, where there's all this really creative street food that costs a fortune.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, we're steering into that, my friends. We'll have different people doing, look, this is a new way to fry chicken, and it's a lot more expensive. So yeah, we'll steer into all of that, I'm afraid.
And you're going to be sort of touching, presumably, on, you know, vegan meals, sustainability, and so forth.
There's going to be vegan options. It's going to be eco-friendly packaging. In fact, if possible, no packaging. We want to just, you put your hands out and we will slap the food in your hands and you'll go on your merry way. So, yeah.
Ladle to mouth.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm just vegan-friendly, but you do have leather seats, so...
Yeah, it's vintage. There was a lot of hunting. We didn't, not that kind of hunting. We had to do a lot of digging around to find all this vintage leather. But yeah,
okay. I just want to, you know, because there will be vegans. So I want to come, but I don't really want to sit in a leather seat. So yeah, no. Okay, yeah. That's
vintage. It's fine.
It's fine.
And your mascot. You're presumably, because the pride link. You're keeping the nickname, the Lions.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And your mascot is a big lion.
Yeah.
Any changes to that guy? What's his name, that mascot? Has he got a name?
I'm not sure. I can't remember his name. He's got to have a name.
Zampa.
Zampa, of course it is, because we moved to Zampa Road. So that's why he's Zampa the Lion. Because we were Coldblow Lane originally. So we've got the Coldblow Lane end at the New Den now. And Zampa Road is where we are now. So there's a Zampa Lion. But yeah, we're keeping the lion, but it's a real one now.
Right, nice. Okay.
Real lion coming out on a lead. Having a good old roar. And again, there's something weirdly fabulous about that.
Yeah.
You know, a real lion.
It's got that sort of old sort of Vegas extravagance to it, hasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Your Siegfried and Roy, that kind of vibe. Yeah, it's a real lion. He's coming and roaring. Everyone loves it.
Yeah, if it's done in a show kind of way, like a Vegas show way, that it is camp.
And incidentally, we do take him to away games. So he's eating that eagle at Palace. Just so you know, that eagle at Palace ain't lasting long when Zampa's about.
That eagle at Palace has actually died.
Well, he'll die all over again.
Sorry. I said he's eating him. I didn't say he's killing him. They've got the body. Yeah. we're disrespecting the dead here.
It's just a feast. It's just a simple feast.
I mean, again, not to stand up for the vegans, but I think they will have something to say about it. I know it is the circle of life.
It's nature. It's the circle of life. Elton's welcome.
Of course Elton's welcome.
Well, yeah, Elton's be switching allegiances immediately, I imagine.
Yeah, he will.
Okay, what's the motto of Millwall?
It's currently no one likes us, we don't care.
No way.
Sorry, can we have that in Latin, please? That's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, no, again, it's a motto I've genuinely loved for a long time. On my solo album, I had a song called Let 'em Come, because Let 'em Come is the song that we all sing as Millwall come down. So I wrote a song inspired by Millwall.
Sorry, that sounds perfect for the new
album. Yeah, we're keeping it. We're keeping it. But and new motto is no one likes us and that's fine, but honestly we've done a lot of work and changed a lot, so please feel very welcome.
Nice. Perfect. And that should be like, if it's presented, rather than being on like a coat of arms or something like that, it should just be in like the iPhone Notes app.
Yeah, definitely.
It's just a screen grab of the iPhone Notes app saying, I've done my best to learn and grow.
Yeah.
I've listened. Yeah. And I've understood.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No one likes us, and I understand that. We've got a lot of bad history, but we have done the work, and you are very welcome should anything change going forward.
One of the reasons why I laughed so much is it was very funny, but also the way in which you read that out, you looked at the bit of paper that you got it written out, and it looked like an MP apologising for something. Like,
my friend, I looked at my iPhone Notes app. Don't worry about that.
It was so funny, though, because it was read like an MP that had just been involved in some grotty, sordid thing. And he's there with his family at the gate in a very nice country house.
Yeah.
Like the Little Britain sketch, just reading that out.
Yeah.
But actually, we've done a lot. We've done a lot of thinking. I looked at my neighbour's roof and laughed then, if you're wondering.
Do you have if you're going to try and do this image,
yeah,
you're going to try and change this policy, this history, is this coming down to signings and manager as well?
Well, the manager's an interesting one. Because there's going to be a lot of change. Basically, famous Millwall fan, Daniel Day-Lewis, I'm bringing him in as a manager and I want him to go method with a different manager each week. So he will be playing different managers each week. The way he does his research, he will be digging into these managers. So I'm essentially signing every manager there's ever been.
Yeah.
Because maybe not each week, but you know, at the right times he will go method. I like the idea of him looking at our opponent, looking at who their main rivals are and who's given them their biggest loss in their history, and going method as that manager to present that against them.
You've had a full loophole here.
That's great. Yeah.
Yeah.
That said, I do think Daniel Day-Lewis' salary will probably be about the same as Pep Guardiola's.
Yeah,
you know, he's not that much cheaper, but you're getting sort of 30 for the price of one.
Will there be like a costume and prosthetics and makeup team that basically then just get them ready to look like them?
They need to look like them on the touchline. Provided
by our new sponsors, RuPaul's Drag Race. There's going to be a hell of a team. God. Don't worry about this covered. Don't worry.
This is great.
Daniel has got everything he could possibly want. Don't you worry about that. The support is going to be outrageous.
Is he genuinely a Millwall fan?
Yeah, I believe so. He's shouted Millwall out once or twice. Again, it's a really hard one because I think, again, to get all serious again, I think a lot of people aren't that proud to declare Millwall at times because, again, they've not got the best history. But he's definitely mentioned Millwall a few times. I'm sure in one of his, like, BAFTA speeches,
he mentioned Millwall. He shouted him out in his BAFTA speech.
Yeah.
Wow.
No one likes me. I don't care.
Yeah.
As he went up to no applause.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So that's my managerial choice. I love the idea, and again, I love the fabulousness of signing an actor as the manager, signing someone from showbiz and the theatre world, and all of these things. You know,
as a club, maybe you don't win any trophies, but as a club, you could get an Oscar.
Yeah.
You're suddenly making yourself eligible for more competitions that no other clubs are.
Exactly.
So you're getting the football Oscar at least.
Yeah, exactly.
Usually it's the manager that picks the players and says to the chair, this is who I want. Will you be trying to sway the manager's decision at all with any players? Obviously, you own the club. I would absolutely be telling the manager who to be buying.
I've got a few requests. I want us, and this is kind of unrelated to everything else I've said so far, but thus is the whim of a director. I want us to sign, basically, Championship Manager Legends. This comes from the fact that Cherno Samba, in my opinion, is the ultimate Champman legend, and he was at Millwall in Champman. It's why year after year in those... probably 2011-12 era championship manager and football manager, as it turned into, I'd get Millwall to the Champions League constantly because we would have this player who everyone who's playing Championship Man would try and sign, because Cherno Samba would always end up playing for England. So yeah, I want Cherno Samba to have his day at Millwall, because he never did properly. I want Taribo West. I want Mark Kerr. I want Paul Warhurst, because he can play every position. I want all of these players that I would have signed in the Champ Man days to come in and live up to their Championship Manager potential.
Freddie Adu
is very welcome,
mate. He popped up on my Instagram Explore feed yesterday.
Yeah,
spent a lot of time in Ireland.
Oh, really? Marcus Blackstock was always one for me. Him and Cherno Samba would be England, you know, top goal scorers, all sorts of things like that for me. There's a fair few.
I think I've seen a few of those players. Freddie Adu is one of them, who's been like going on podcasts to talk about the sort of unlived up to potential.
Well, Cherno Samba has said how it did kind of ruin his career a bit, because because he was a youth player at Millwall and he was so hyped, and then he didn't quite deliver, or the pressure was too much, because that was peak Championship Manager as well. It was when people were really digging deep and it was like, it was discussed so much. It was like, it was a real talking point. I'd be buying the papers and looking in the sports section to research my Championship Manager's signings and stuff. And I think the pressure was too much for Cherno. He never turned out. I don't remember him in the first team at all. I remember him, as I said, being this hyped youth team player. I think he might have got in an altercation with a veteran player. I'm sure there was some kind of story of some dressing room scrap that kind of ended his time.
Yeah, it's a weird one, isn't it? That I just like the pressure you'd feel. But also, I remember that time.
Mark McCammond, was it? I'm sure I've just had that.
Oh, that's the veteran.
I'm sure there was a defender we had called Mark McCammond, or Mark McCammon. And I'm sure they had a bit of a. I'm sure it was him and Cherno Samba that had a bit of a row, and it kind of anyway.
And did Mark McCammond continue playing?
He did. He was already in the first team. He was an established first teamer. So I wonder if there's anything there. But I could have imagined all of that.
They turned down a £2 million offer, according to the website en.wikipedia.org, from Liverpool.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's mad, isn't it? Heartbreaking for him as a player as well, because again, it's that thing I, as a Millwall fan, have always loved, because again, it's that smaller team thing. I've always loved our players going on to do big things. I loved Sheringham becoming the player he was. I loved Cahill at Everton. I wanted Cahill to move to United in that era that Scholes was getting older, and Cahill would have slotted in perfectly in that slot. I love our old players doing good, because we've never been the club where we're going to be the one to take them to, you know, top of the Premiership or Champions League or whatever else. So yeah, I would have loved Cherno to have gone on to big things.
Well, now is his second chance. Yeah. This is where it's going to happen, and this he's going to be surrounded by a jury of his peers, sort of also Championship Manager legends who didn't necessarily live up to it in real life.
Yeah, exactly. They're all going to get that second chance.
And it's also perfect. They sort of that sort of goes perfectly with what your motto is.
Yeah.
Which is, look, we've got a bit of history. It didn't go the way we wanted, but we've done some thinking and some learning.
Let's focus on the now.
Yeah.
Obviously, to find out whether you are fit and proper, Reese and I aren't judging you. It's the supercomputer that judges you. The supercomputer also throws out some scenarios just to see how you deal with being, you know, the chair of a football club. And I think Reese,
as it should.
Do you mind reading out the supercomputer's scenario? It's a good one.
Yeah. So this is what it's thrown up. Without anyone realising, in his time off between seasons, your star player, take your pick here of which Championship Manager legend this would be about, let's say Freddie Adu, goes on a stag do in Benidorm and ends up on stage at a hypnotist show. As a result, now every time the crowd chant his name, he gets on all fours, roars like a lion, then licks his hands to clean his head like a cat before falling asleep for 3 hours. The hypnotist is now completely off-grid and somehow made it so that other hypnotists can't undo the spell. That player is still banging in the goals, and as it's pre-season, most fans assume that it's all just an elaborate celebration. But as he has no memory of it happening afterwards, fans are starting to get suspicious. With the proper season about to begin, how do you deal with this situation so you don't have to drop your greatest goal scorer, but also don't have to lose him to catnaps after every goal?
It's not a problem, my friend. So I've had a word with the DJ in the toilets, and he's got a certain song that fits perfectly with my star player, striker Freddie Adu, with his drag name. Obviously, as Lloyd established earlier, everyone has a drag name. We've got a new song that focuses on his drag name rather than his real name. The crowd are going to be chanting his drag name. There's no hypnotic connection to that. It's a problem solved. All it takes is that DJ doing his job in the toilets and just getting that across. Maybe playing the song and nudging just one of the fans going, oh, this sounds a bit like, because again, people want to feel they've created it. This sounds a bit like that. And then let them come up with it naturally. We've got that under control, genius. My friend.
Because at the moment it is the tune of Agadoo. Fred, do. And my old music teacher, Barry Whitfield, wrote Agadoo, so he'll be getting royalties for that.
And we don't want to be paying those royalties.
So not anymore. It's switching to Freddie Adu's drag name, and that is perfect because also it will show the fans, maybe some of the old school fans, that this actually can be the solution to some problems as well. You know, a new identity is the thing that is going to keep this player scoring goals.
It's
going to
make him stronger. It's an improvement, if anything. It's not, it's our differences that make us stronger. And that's how it's going to be. Just quickly, have either of you ever had the bottle to try and start a chant? Because I remember in my youth, as someone who's always like written lyrics and that, genuinely, I remember in my youth, because I've got a stammer, always on cue, I've got a stammer. So particularly in my youth, I was a very nervous kid. I'd come up with all these chants and I genuinely thought about, this is the saddest thing in the world. I genuinely thought about writing them out and kind of leaving them in like the big boys section of the Coldplay Lane of the South
like
Stand Upper. Yeah, to try and get people to start it because I would never have the bottle to start it. But I never did that. But yeah.
I've tried. My mate wrote one during a particularly boring game. He wrote one about Fernando Llorente and the famous Spurs Man City Champions League quarterfinal that got us. It was in the season we got to the final.
Amazing.
Which was,
it sounds complex.
It was ABBA's Fernando. It was something along the lines of like, there was someone in the box that night. They marked him tied, Fernando. Then he put it in off his thigh. Made Walker cry, Fernando.
I love that
tremendous
you put
stuff.
Something like, and then delivered it perfectly word for word.
Yeah, it was something like...
along the lines of... Yeah. I can't really remember that clearly, but basically, the general gist is...
I literally just went, and it goes a little something like this.
Exactly.
A one, two, a three, a four.
It's like a band just appeared out of nowhere in Reese's sauna room. It's quite
That was a pre-record.
There was a glimmer of hope that we were going to join in.
Yeah,
I can see
Fernando,
that in your eyes.
Fernando.
Guys, I think you're on mute. I think you're suddenly on mute. The connection's got a bit weird.
I improvised a song once. It was Grimsby Town versus Eastleigh 2 years ago, last game of the season. Absolutely awful game, 3-3. We were already in the playoff places. And the Eastleigh home end were just full of children. It was so weird, like teenage kids all dressed in like stone eyes and all trying to kick off. And the atmosphere wasn't great. And then they started chanting, is this a library? Is this a library? Like, you're at home. Like it's your library. This is your library. What are you on about? The kids were so young, and it was a Sunday, weird Sunday game. I just started singing, you've got school in the morning, school in the morning. And the whole, even the Eastleigh home fans who weren't the children started singing it. And they
it worked. You did it successfully.
Yeah, and they beat me up on the way,
amazing.
And they beat me up on the way home.
Yeah.
To Southampton Parkway. So
I'd still count it as a success story. I'd still be smiling after that beat.
As they were kicking me, I was still humming the chants. You know what I mean?
I love that it was young kids then that were having a go at their own fans as well.
They were having a go at us. I just don't think they understand what the chant meant.
Yeah, exactly.
It was like,
it's bizarre.
What are you doing, you losers?
It's so weird. Love that.
Now, before the computer can decide if you are fit and proper 100%, just the final question is, are there any rules that you wish to impose, you know, some people like to say all the players have to have a short back and sides, or, you know, we're only training on Wednesdays or whatever. Is there anything specific you want from your players, you know, length of socks, etc.?
No, it's just that every week or every new signing, like you know, when you have new signings and they have to do the sing a song in the dressing room or whatever. Yeah, the induction is a traditional RuPaul's Drag Race performance. So you've got to, you when you sign with us, you've got to come and do your full performance. But again, it's not got that same atmosphere of the induction. Everyone's clapping along. Everyone's having the time of their lives and cheering and welcoming. So
they're not trying to mock you like they are. And it's not stand on a chair and everyone filming it on their phones going,
it's celebration. People will be nervous as they come in and start, but they'll see quite quickly it's a celebration.
Yeah. Wow. Well, perfect. I can't wait. I can't wait to get down to the den. I've got
the leather den.
Will they let me in with my makeup bag?
Yes, 100%. I mean, depending on what makeup you're rocking, there will be a little bit of judgment. You know, it can't be too basic.
It's mainly Charlotte Tilbury.
That's fine. That's fine.
You know what I mean?
Perfect.
I'm not mucking about.
Yeah, you're in. You're in.
Right, okay. Well, obviously, in order to decide whether you are fit and proper, we have to input all this data into the supercomputer. So if you could just bear with me for 1 second. Right, okay. That is interesting. Well, you're absolutely fit and proper.
Of course.
It was never in doubt, really.
You made a huge play for it, you know, going down a sort of morality angle, a big rebrand of the history.
Yeah.
And
I was going to say, I'd be gutted if I wasn't, because I've spent over £100 on that private investigator to get the rights to this club. So well, I'd be gutted that. If that had gone to waste.
Because that nearly lost you some points, the sort of blackmail. But then, you know, it sort of listened, the supercomputer listened a bit closer and realised actually the blackmail's in the past. And this whole thing is about escaping the past. We've got to look
to
the future.
We've done a lot
now.
Of work.
We've done it since we did the blackmail to take over the club.
We've done a lot of work.
We've done a great deal of work on ourselves.
You know what? I've not blackmailed a single person since. So
exactly.
And it has been hours. Normally in this time, I would have blackmailed at least 4 people. So
I'm normally blackmailing all day. But here I am now, and I'm focusing on getting some vegan options in the stadium and some sequins on the shirt that change to a glittery rainbow lion. And what could be more inclusive than that?
I want to make it clear as well that the red part of the rainbow is on the shoulders. So if there is any grabbing, you've got a literal caught red-handed type feel. So that handprint is red. I want to really just play into that for the benefit of the refs.
Absolutely love it. Well, listen, we can't wait to get down to the den. I can't wait to spend a lot of time in the toilets beforehand.
Yeah.
But applying the right kind of powder to the right part of the nose.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah, exactly. And no Paco Rabanne, no kiss from a man. Never forget, no Paco Rabanne, no kiss from a man. This show is brought to you by Paco Rabanne.
Thank you so much for coming on, and congrats on being a fit and proper owner.
Thank you, guys. It's been a pleasure to share this moment. And it is a moment, this moment, with the two of you.
What a journey.
That, for me, was one of the all-time great episodes.
It's up there. It's in the Hall of Fame, episode.
There were bits where I had to move away from the microphone because I was laughing so much. It is the motto just fucking did me.
Do you know what I love is when someone has a moment of realization of something brilliant they could do that's like live that we get to see happen. So they have an idea, but then something comes up. And for me, that was remembering those sequin cushions that can be different things which way you swipe them. And he realized as he was saying it, wait, he was kind of like, we could do that. Oh my God, it'd be perfect. The excitement in his eyes when he suddenly remembered those and was like, oh my God, put them on a football shirt, be the first team to do that.
I had to refrain from telling him why I thought that was so funny, because he was obviously using those sequins for the good of mankind.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you know, a good, wholesome project. And the only way I've seen it been used before is my Auntie Binny, who she will, you know, acknowledge herself, she is feral, just has cushions on that say the word, and you're probably going to have to bleep this out, Harry, cunt.
Wait, so it's blank or it says cunt?
Yeah.
So it depends who the guests are.
Yeah.
It depends who's coming round.
Yeah.
It doesn't bode well for you, Lloyd, I'd say, that you know that it says the word car.
Yeah, actually, now you say it like that. I don't think I'm in the
will. I'm surprised you even know that they're blank on the other side.
Yeah. So that's fair play. Of that. But yeah, a really brilliant episode. I'm very happy with the no Paco Rabanne, no kiss of a man.
Yeah.
That was good little bit of improv.
And actually, poetry. In the edit as well, we'll probably cut out the 15 minutes while you thought of that. So it'll seem like, if you've just listened, it'll probably seem like you just said that straight away.
Such a little shit ass. Because there was none of that. And no, you're just upset because you are supposedly, a funny poet.
Well, I started it. It was my idea. And I said, no spritz, no dicks.
Yeah, but spritz is like, it's more like wine, isn't it?
No, it's have a spritz.
No, that's not. You have a spray.
Well, listen, I wasn't going to say no spray, no gay, was I? But it was there.
A lot of spray, a lot of gay.
Exactly, it was
right
there.
That's what you should have said.
Well, personally, I look forward to the future of Millwall, and I'm absolutely thrilled we got Scroobie's Pip. Obviously, as you know, make sure to keep sending in any suggestions of clubs you want us to try and sponsor. We are on the lookout.
We will happen.
So get
look,
on the Instagram.
We've got a few months before the season sorts itself out. I've got, to be fair as well, I've probably got a few contacts. I could probably get kits as well. So we might be able to bring the cost down, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, we could do this on the cheap. Don't tell them that, but we'll be doing it on the cheap. The kits will fall apart. There will not be multi-sequined reveals. And actually, no, we should do it. We should do it like your auntie. And just if you do rub someone, it just says cunt instead of the name.
I've got friends at Pony. Okay, thanks for listening. We've got to go now.
I've got friends with ponies. So that's the difference, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. You are.
See you next time.
Posh wanker. Goodbye.